are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. Find my work by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. And today is Monday, March 11th. It is the official kickoff of the legal tampering period in the NFL, the three-day period before the official start of free agency, before the official start of the new league year. And already we have some news. Trying to keep up with the rumors, but let's, for the time being, we're going to stick with the news. The Giants have, according to a source, they have re-signed center Spencer Pulley. The deal is believed to be for a three-year, $9.6 million extension with $2.325 million in guaranteed money. Pulley had been a restricted free agent. He would have gotten I think around a $2 million tender had he been tendered, but now, of course, the Giants are able to get that number down. I don't have the breakdown yet as far as the actual numbers, but bottom line is I think the Giants were able to get that down so that they don't have to, you know, dole out that kind of $2-plus million for a guy who may or may not be your starter. Now, actually, I think Pulley is going to probably be in the line to be the starter. He started the last, from week seven on at center for the Giants, and the offensive line played well, didn't really miss a beat. Pulley was the guy who, if you remember, he was acquired off waivers just after the end of training camp last year. He was part of like six or seven guys that the Giants acquired. And he played well. So the Giants are bringing him back. Now, last week, they also signed John Jalapio, who had been the starting center to open up the season. Jalapio, an exclusive rights free agent, signed for $645,000. And in looking at the structure and looking at the money, my best guess is that Jalapio, who unfortunately had his season end to a broken ankle in week two of the season last year. He's coming along. A source told me that his surgery, you know, was successful, that he's ahead of schedule in his rehab, and he's fully optimistic about returning in time for the start of training camp. But my guess is the Giants are going to kind of go with Pulley, who can also play, you know, along the interior if need be, and they will probably have Jalapio back to compete as a backup. So overall, good, you know, it's good signing, I think. The Giants continue to rebuilding that offensive line. We'll see if they can come up with a right tackle. We'll see what happens with Jamon Brown, who is also still who is due to be an unrestricted free agent. And above all, the Giants have to get that pass rush fix. You know, a lot of holes on that pass rush, a lot of holes on that defense. So let's see if they can come up with some solutions, despite the fact that they don't have a whole lot of money to go after these guys. Now, before I take a break and play for you the interview that I did with Amy Trask, CBS Sports football analyst, who was kind enough to give me about 15 minutes of her time, I did want to just kind of give you guys a little, like, FYI for this week and the coming weeks. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try and keep these shows as short as possible so that this way stuff doesn't get, it doesn't age. So if I have to come back, if something breaks and we have breaking news, I will put out a second show, a third show, however many shows per day I need to. I will come back and I will give you the news. I will give you whatever details I get. And this way you'll be kept abreast of what's going on in the Giants free agency. So do make sure you keep it here on Locked On Giants. It's going to be a busy, busy next few days and possibly next few weeks. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope you get the Giants get the players you're hoping for and that, they upgrade the team, which I'm sure they will. Okay, so I'm going to take a short break. And then when we come back, I'm going to play the interview I did with Amy Trask. Again, she is a former front office executive with the Oakland Raiders, spent 30 years in that role working for Al Davis. She is currently a football analyst for CBS Sports and a really terrific person. If you're not following her on Twitter, make sure you do. She's at Amy Trask. And she's also the author or the co-author of the book, You Negotiate Like a Girl. So in honor of those young ladies out there who maybe aspire to get into pro football or any kind of pro sports, Amy had some really good advice, which she shared during our interview. So we'll take a quick break and we will come back and I will play you that interview. So stay with us. I have the pleasure right now of being joined by Amy Trask. She's a tremendous individual, one I have a lot of respect for. She's a 30-year veteran, worked with the Oakland Raiders for 30 years in their front office. She is currently a football analyst for CBS Sports. And Amy, it's a delight to have you.
Well, it is a privilege and pleasure to join you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, Amy. Let's jump right into it. As we record this, the official NFL tampering period has begun. And if I may, Amy, I'd like to tap into your experience in the front office and just kind of give people an overview or a little behind the scenes look at what goes through the minds from the front office perspective during this time of the league calendar year.
Sure. And I'm, you can't see me, obviously, but I'm smiling to ear to ear when you reference the, quote, legal tampering period, close quote. Because when this was instituted, I looked at my colleagues and I said, so, okay, all this is going to do is back up the date on which teams start contacting players when they're really not supposed to start contacting players. In other words, by putting this period in place, the league had hoped to sort of regulate what was going on. And my thought was, no, it's just going to back it up a couple of days. And look, the fact is teams do look for any competitive advantage. And I worked for an individual, Al Davis, who really wasn't of a mind to tamper. And many people don't believe that when I say it, but I was the child who was always saying, but everybody does it. Why can't we? And I was the one who sort of whined, if you will, that, you know, everybody's doing it. Why aren't we doing it? So teams tamper. The league doesn't do much about it. But yes, this legal period is designed to cut down on that.
And Amy, how does a front office typically assign a value to a player? I mean, we all know that if it were up to us, we would get the most money, you know, for the least amount of work. That's just how, unfortunately, the society goes. But, you know, a lot of times, obviously, players and their agents come in, they want a ton of money. You know, the front office says, look, you know, we don't think you're worth that. I mean, how does that dynamic kind of unfold a little bit?
Well, every team handles that differently. 32 different teams, 32 different approaches. And some teams are, you know, they stick to a chart or a pre-designed template, if you will, of what they're willing to spend on a given position or a given age or a given role. Other teams are much more fluid in the approach. My experience with the Raiders working for Al is that he took a very, very less regimented approach. And by the way, he was often criticized for that. He was never loath to pay a player he wanted more than many other teams thought he should pay. And he was criticized and he simply didn't care.
And how has it kind of evolved? I mean, again, you've been in the business for over 30 years. You've been through all the CBAs or most of the CBAs. How has it changed with each passing CBA?
Well, obviously, in recent time, and I say recent only in terms of the tenure of my career, it's not immediately recent, if you will, is the addition of the tags, the franchise tags and the transition tags. And it's an interesting conundrum for the Players Association going into the next bargaining session. The tag is a limitation. It's a restriction, whether it's the franchise tag or the transition tag. And I can absolutely positively understand players who are tagged not liking that. And I can understand players wanting the tag out of the bargaining agreement. On the other hand, if you look at it from the perspective of the Players Association, there are a lot of issues to address. How much capital do they want to invest in addressing an issue which affects a very, very few players on a percentage basis. Now, I'm not suggesting they shouldn't address it, but it is an interesting conundrum. Do you address something that is very troubling to players but affects only a few, or do you address issues that affect players in general?
Is it hard for a front office to balance the, you know, the temptation of we got to get insert position here, but meanwhile you've got the draft coming up and you don't know obviously how the draft is going to unfold. So is there more pressure on a front office to maybe make a bigger strike in free agency, or is there, do you have to kind of temper that and say, look, the way to build a team is through the draft?
And this is why I'm such a fan of your work. That was a terrific, or that is a terrific, terrific question. Very thought provoking. And, you know, I spent quite a bit of time thinking about, I still think about, should the order of free agency and the draft be changed? You know, posit this as a suggestion. What if you were to just change the paradigm entirely, shift it, so that the draft were to come first? See what you do in the draft and then go fill in with the rush of free agency. And yes, I understand free agents can be signed after the draft, of course, but the rush to sign free agents occurs at the beginning of free agency. I think the question you raise is a spectacular one. I'm not sure where I come out on this, but yes, teams do rush to fill spots and holes with free agents. What if they were to look to the draft first and then circle back to free agency?
I think it would definitely make sense, but I don't know if the union would necessarily go for it because, you know, the feeling is once these young pups sign, you know, in the draft, now maybe there's not as much of the pile left for the veterans.
Which also raises a fascinating issue because in theory, the Players Association is there for the good of all players, current players, prospective players, those who are going to come in through the draft or as, you know, undrafted rookie free agents. And by the way, let's not forget that the Players Association should also be looking out for retired players, men who came before the current players.
That was actually going to be one of my next questions to you is with the current CBA coming up on its end next year, 2020 is the last year. How do you kind of see the next CBA shaping up? Or is it too early at this point to kind of get a feel for how things might, you know, progress?
I think it may be a little bit too early. It shouldn't be too early because thought is being given to this and should be being given to this by the league and by the Players Association. But I think it's too early to know how it will shake out. You know, to touch on the issue of retired players, I do hope considerable thought, or I should say considerable additional thought or additional thought, and I'm stumbling with how to best articulate it, but the men who came earlier in the sequence of this game should be taken care of. And one of the things I was working on with Al before he passed away was a vision, a passion of his, which is a retirement community for former NFL players who could opt in if they wanted. And it was a vision he had, and those men need to be taken care of.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina, special guest Amy Trask of CBS Sports. We're going to take a short break and continue Amy's interview right after this, so stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans. You're with Patricia Traina, and I have special guest Amy Trask from CBS Sports, also former longtime front office executive with the Oakland Raiders, and we're going to continue with part two of the interview now. Amy, just to back up a little bit, we just recently had International Women's Day, and you, of course, are a trailblazer, and I know this is in your fantastic book, You Negotiate Like a Girl, but for the listeners out there who aspire to get into, you know, the NFL or any professional sports league who happen to be female and they meet the old resistance from the boys' club, can you just talk a little bit about, you know, or maybe offer some tips or some guidance or advice on how to maybe break in?
Sure. And thank you very much for your nice comments. You know, I'm often asked for advice by young women who are either about to embark upon or looking to advance in careers. And I offer three pieces of advice. First, stop thinking about the fact that you're a woman. If you want to enter into a room, a negotiation, a meeting, a locker room, if you want to enter into any situation whatsoever, and your hope and your expectation is that no one is going to be thinking about your gender, then it makes no sense to be thinking about your gender. At least it makes no sense in my view. I never spent a moment of my career thinking about my gender. I didn't walk into a league owners meeting or a Raider ownership meeting or a player meeting, banking, municipal, any sort of meeting or circumstance whatsoever thinking about my gender. It just struck me as utterly nutty for me to think about my gender while other people, while hoping others and expecting others would not. The second piece of advice I give is gender neutral, and that is work hard. Hard work matters. Hard work really matters. And I encourage people to work as hard as they can. And when they think they can't find a way to work any harder, find a way to work harder. And the third and final piece of advice I give is to thine own self be true. It's the best advice I ever received in my life. My mother shared that with me from the time I can remember, and took me until I was almost out of college to realize she didn't coin that, Shakespeare did. But it really is the best advice I ever received. To thine own self be true.
And it's so true. I know a lot of people say it's who you know and you know what you do. But I know in my case, I didn't really have a lot of connections. It was just, you know, working my way, working and getting my work noticed. So really good advice. And it kind of, you know, mirrors what I did in order to get into the journalism business.
And, Amy, you know, I knew no one. I knew no one. I picked up the phone and I made a cold call. And I don't mean to suggest for a moment that it's easy to do for everybody or that everyone is going to be afforded the opportunity I was to work for someone who hired and fired and, yes, cussed at people without regard to race, gender, ethnicity, or any other individuality, which has no bearing on whether one can do a job. But you don't always have to know someone. You just said you didn't. I didn't. Look for opportunities wherever you can.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to reach out, because my mom always used to say the worst somebody can do is say no, right?
There you go.
Exactly. Amy, last question for you. If you could, I know you were at, I think you were at the combine, or at least it happened kind of, you know, following, I guess, how the draft is shaping up. What are your overall thoughts on this draft class? Where do you think teams can really benefit? And the old saying that, you know, you can find a starter in just about every round, is how true is that?
Well, just in the spirit of full disclosure, I was not at the combine. I was focused on our big three work with Ice Cube and Jeff and the big three, but I did pay close attention to it and read everything and followed it. You know, I have a little bit of a different view about the draft than many people. We always hear best player available, best player available. Well, there are a lot of really good players in this draft. And while I do recognize you don't want to reach and grab someone who's not worthy of where you are picking just to fill a need, I think best player available is an overstatement. Look, if I have a spectacular young quarterback on my roster that I believe is going to be my answer for years and years, maybe decades, well, then no, I don't want to draft a quarterback with a high pick. And my hope would be I can trade. And that's kind of a shorthand way, because I know we're looking to wrap this up, of saying some of the, quote, truisms, close quote, are not, in my view, always true.
No, they're not. And I always question that old best player available, you know, theory, because, again, I know everybody assigns grades. Everybody has a different way of grading their players. But if you have two guys that are at the same, you know, the same grade or within a decimal point of each other, then it's like you got to kick in need at some point.
Absolutely. If you have Patrick Mahomes or you have Baker Mayfield on your roster and you're sitting there, and I know this isn't the case, but let's say you're sitting there right atop the draft. Hypothetically speaking, you have a quarterback of that quality, very young, you believe he's your answer, and you're sitting atop the draft. Are you really going to take a quarterback? You're going to do everything you can to trade that pick or use it differently. Now, the problem is, of course, when people know you need to trade a pick, it becomes a bit more of a buyer's and a seller's market.
Yes, it does. It's a fascinating process, the draft and free agency, and just, you know, we're just getting started, obviously, as we record this. So it's going to certainly be interesting to see how it plays out.
It sure is.
Amy, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You can follow her at Amy Tresk on Twitter. Make sure you check out her book, You Negotiate Like a Girl. It's a really good read. I highly recommend it. And of course, you can find her on CBS Sports, where she just does a fantastic job. Amy, it was a pleasure.
The pleasure was mine, and it was a privilege, and I thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. All right, Giant fans, again, a special thanks to Amy Tresk for taking a few minutes out of her very busy schedule to come on the line and talk a little bit of football with us. Hope you enjoyed the interview. And again, make sure you keep it here on Locked On Giants. As we get any kind of breaking news to report, I will be back on the line. I'll give you my take. I'll give you whatever information I have about the transaction. So just a lot of stuff coming up, and I do appreciate your patience. I appreciate you listening, and I'll talk to you again very soon. Take care.